right. So so each time the phone rings, think about the coltan, which actually costs, it's actually one of the most expensive minerals. I think it's 500 bucks for each kilogram. And they extract a very tiny proportion of it. So I think this presentation, even if they were brief, gave us a portrait of the situation. Let us keep in mind that conflict are not just war. They also were other forms of violence. It could be economic aggression due to globalization. It could be political hegemony, cultural and psychological forms of aggressions, and ecological aggression. So I think we are open also to all these forms of violences in this workshop. So you're more than welcome now to comment and ask questions.
So if people just want to raise their hands, I'll start taking a list of people that like to say stuff. I'm going to ask you to keep it to around 2 minutes at the most for your questions and comments. So, okay, we'll start over there on the right and move left.
Hi. Thank you all for your various overviews of what's happening in Africa at this point. I am a diasporic African woman born in Barbados, who is black conscious, also queer, who has lived in North America for about 22 years, just to contextualize where exactly I'm coming from and the sort of privilege attached to, you know, the shoes that I walk in. I find it extremely important, but also very rewarding to try and complicate discussions of this sort as much as I possibly can. And one of the things that came up for me while you were all sort of your overviews was around something that I find, as again a North American person, black person, frequently happens in liberation struggles or after liberation struggles in you know, whatever countries around the world, that there's a place of solidarity where people come together and they fight and they struggle to throw off the yoke of various oppressors. And then at some point after that is done, me and my fellow queers of color start getting telephone calls and emails and you know, pieces written by dark queers in other countries saying, you know, help, they're killing us. Well, I guess the question that I'm asking is, can anyone speak to how they feel a politic of liberation can include a critique of oppression based on homophobia and heterocentrism to help us arrive at a more complete place of struggle and fight for change and eventual freedom? How do you feel your struggles or the struggles of people in the parts of the world that you're speaking to incorporate a polished and anti-homophobia, anti-queer phobia, anti-heterocentric politics? Anyone can speak to that.
Okay, well, I don't mind. I'll start. I think historically, if you look at liberation movements historically, there's always been a large tension between nationalist struggle, i.e. the liberation of the country or the nation, versus other struggles, be it queer struggle, be it feminist struggle, environmental. And often what has happened historically is that all these other struggles have been sidelined, and the answer has typically been, let's worry about the nation first, and then we'll look at everything else later. And historically, that has not happened. You know, whether we can look at Algeria, we can look more contemporarily at South Africa, where there was a big tension within the anti-apartheid movement, the nationalist movement inside South Africa, to look at queer issues, to look at feminist issues, and the leadership of the nationalist struggle said each time, let's liberate the country first, then we'll look at these issues. And the struggle continues because those issues are not being looked at.
And people die.
And people die. So I that's not an answer. That's simply historical analysis. But I think what Grilla needs to do, if I put it on us, is precisely to look at that, to move beyond the analysis of the liberation of the nation and to look at other dimensions. To some degrees, we do. To a large extent, we don't. Very often, we do get pulled into the national optic or optique nationale and less on other forms of struggle. I think it depends on the issue that we're dealing with and who the people are who are working on these issues. I would have to say, and I'm going to be very honest, that we do not look at queer issues very often. We respond to them. For instance, in Zimbabwe, Mugabe is a very rabid homophobic, and we certainly responded to his persecution. In South Africa, we have responded to instances of persecution, but I am going to be very honest, it's not an issue that we've taken on in a significant and sustained way. But I hear you. I see what you're saying.
On to the next question, then, please.
It's kind of a. Is it me?
Yes.
It's kind of a quick comment about actions that we can take right now, and I guess a more general question about long-term solidarity. The first thing is that I'd just like to say that all of the presenters today, I think, really highlighted the fact that, contrary to popular belief, conflict in Africa is not an only African issue. It's really rooted in international power dynamics. It's linked to corporate interests. It's linked to Western governments. It's linked very heavily to our government as well. And I think that one of the key issues right now as we speak is NAPAD, which is the New Partnership for Africa's Development. And it's a document that was created by Becky, who's, as we noted, homophobic and quite oppressive in terms of various policies, I guess, and other African leaders to launch a new plan for Africa's development, and it's based on economic reports and export and trade and investment, and so it really emphasizes resource extraction, and it de-emphasizes conflict, and it de-emphasizes the international roots of conflict. So I think that the upcoming actions on the G8 and the education opportunities around the G8 are really instructive for us to get informed with NAPAD and with issues of Africa in general. And the question that I have is more of a long-term issue, because I think a lot of African movements are excluded from the broader North Star